consent has become a bigger issue where we need to start looking at things like talking to someone and trying to pick them up and being at a bar and approaching them. Consent now becomes non-verbal as well. And if somebody is perceiving to be uncomfortable, I now see that as them not consenting. And that's something that we need to be discussing, not just when it comes to having sex, asking that person, are you comfortable? Are you okay with this?
Warning, adult content.
The Hookup, love and f***ing on Triple J.
Hey, I'm Nat Tenchich, and this is part one of our podcast mini-series on the C word. Yep, I'm talking about consent. We've been told it's as simple as making a cup of tea. So why are so many people so confused about it? We're getting into every aspect of consent in this mini-series. On this podcast, you'll learn how to apply consent when meeting new people at the bar or online and get some consensual pickup tips from Dr. Nikki Goldstein. But first, The Hookup's John Barrington looks at where the conversation around consent is at in the post-Me Too world.
What is consent? Consent is sexy.
Sexy, sexy. Consent is sexy.
But what is consent, and why do we need to talk about it? Well, universities around the world have been.
You may have heard people talking about sexual consent and thought, what's the big deal? We all know no means no.
But there's more to consent than a simple yes or no. Consent is an ongoing conversation.
Everywhere from New York University.
We should talk.
I want to talk about
consent. We need to talk about consent.
It sounds very formal.
Sign here, here, and here.
To Victoria University in Australia.
Consent is the most important part of sex. Because without consent, it isn't sex.
It's rape or sexual assault.
It's all part of a global movement to end sexual assault, harassment and rape on campus. And that's been happening at the same time as another massive movement.
Good morning. Outrage and now tough questions surrounding these growing Harvey Weinstein allegations.
More than 30 women have come forward with allegations against Weinstein, ranging from rude behavior to rape. Weinstein has denied all allegations of non-consensual sex.
If you're on any kind of social media, I am sure you've seen the hashtag MeToo. Everybody has seen MeToo, right? Okay, it was started by actress Alyssa Milano. She tweeted out, if all women who have been sexually harassed or assaulted wrote MeToo as a status, we might give people a sense of magnitude of the problem. So millions of people have come out posting MeToo.
Actor Kevin Spacey says he's beyond horrified by allegations that he made sexual advances on a teenage boy in 1986.
In many of these cases, the accused didn't ask for consent. In some cases, the accused thought they had consent when they didn't.
A sexual misconduct allegation against Aziz Ansari has become a flashpoint in the Me Too conversation. The anonymous source characterized the encounter as sexual assault.
And this hasn't just been happening in Hollywood.
First to the serious allegations against star of stage and screen Craig McLaughlin. Three of his Rocky Horror Show co-stars claim he's a calculated, manipulative predator. McLaughlin, who's been stood down from his role, strenuously denies their accusations of indecent assault, sexual harassment, exposing himself and bullying.
Don, thanks for your time. Louise Langdon, who said that you tried to remove her top on a work trip, that you actually literally poured her and tried to remove her top and tried to remove an item of her clothing. Is that the sort of thing you would have done? Would you have done that even joking?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't remember doing it. Certainly wouldn't have done it seriously. You know, I'm very confused about that scenario. It doesn't sort of fit in. It's so long ago. And just for the record, apart from Bridget Nunes, no one, male or female, ever complained about any, whether it's bullying, any sexual issues, nothing in all the time, there was not one. And I'm sort of thinking, why now?
It could even be a story that sounds familiar to you.
Breaking news out of Richmond this Monday, where Premiership defender Nathan Broad has been suspended for the first three games of the 2018 season.
I sent a very private picture without this young woman's consent.
So this is why we're talking about consent. We're told it's as easy as making a cup of tea.
If you're still struggling with consent, just imagine instead of initiating sex, you're making them a cup of tea. You say, hey, would you like a cup of tea? And they go, oh my God, I would love a cup of tea, thank you. Then you know they want a cup of tea.
But it can be complicated, especially if our language around consent is still developing. If you're in the heat of the moment, if you can't put the right words together, if you freeze up, if you thought someone's body was doing the talking, we need to get better at communicating, because that's how we get to the good stuff and make sure it's good for everyone involved.
So while the conversation has come pretty far in the year post Me Too, there's still a way to go. John Barrington with that report there. And when you're hearing all this chat in the media about consent and assault, how do you apply it to you? I'm Nat Tenchich, and tonight it is the Consent Special. We're answering every question you ever had about how consent works and how you can apply it to a hookup from the beginning of the night and approaching a stranger to the bedroom. And we're doing it this way because we got an email from Joshua over the past week. He hit up the hookup at abc.net.au with this.
Recently, I have started to see more discussions on the thoughts and feelings of women who get approached in public by men, and I'm feeling a bit conflicted in what I am hearing. For instance, I hear how the confidence of a man approaching a woman in public can be an attractive quality, but on the other side, I'm hearing how it can come off as harassment or unwanted attention. I understand that some men are too aggressive in their approach, but I'm more curious in the scenario where it is a respectful exchange between a woman and a man, instigated by the man, where he is seeking to get her number or connect with her. I feel like I am just confused on whether it is socially acceptable to approach a member of the opposite sex in a public setting, like on the street, waiting for public transport, at the shops, or at a bar. So I am just wondering on the thoughts and opinions of women as to the do's and don'ts of approaching them.
So to hit some of those questions right now, we're joined by sexologist and dating expert Dr. Nikki Goldstein and psychologist Dr. Stephen Andrew. Welcome, both of you, to The Hookup.
Hi there, Matt.
Hi.
Hey. So, Nikki, let's start with you. Just to really bring it to the beginning, like, how does consent factor into every interaction we have, from approaching someone at the bar to getting into the bedroom?
Well, I feel like the issue of consent has changed to what we think it used to be. So we were all taught no means no. So I feel like a lot of us always thought that consent was a matter of actually having to ask, can I do this? Can I touch you? And so forth. And in some aspects, that's still very much relevant. But I feel like consent has become a bigger issue where we need to start looking at things like talking to someone and trying to pick them up and being at a bar and approaching them. You know, consent now becomes non-verbal as well. And if somebody is perceiving to be uncomfortable, I now see that as them not consenting. And that's something that we need to be discussing, not just a matter of when it comes to having sex, asking that person, are you comfortable? Are you okay with this?
Mm. Dr. Andrew, do you see like people, guys that you speak to and that you work with, struggle with reading that kind of body language and breaking the ice?
Oh, very much. It's difficult to read, primarily because we've never been taught. We're unsure of our own motives sometimes. It's really hard to read others' motives sometimes. And you know, I agree with Nikki, it's more than no means no, it's more than words, but we're not very good at the words either.
Yeah, and we'll get into the words in a bit too. It's The Hookup on Triple J. I'm here with Dr. Nikki Goldstein and psychologist Dr. Stephen Andrew. Christian from Croydon, you've asked about consent and body language. What did you want to ask Dr. Nikki and Dr. Andrew?
I just reckon to sort of have a conversation around what does body language mean. Like, obviously, as humans, you know, a lot of how we communicate is body language. So, and you know, as humans who have sexual relationships, just purely saying, would you like to have sex with me, can kind of kill things and everything like that. So, like, I just want to know what people think in terms of how you read body language and how subjective that can be, and just all the complications that really kind of arise from that. Because yeah, I've been thinking about it, and it's tricky because it's so subjective, and there doesn't really seem to be a right answer where what works for one person is completely different.
For sure. So Nikki, what kinds of body language signs, at least in that early stage, before you get to the bedroom, should you be looking out for and
making a note of? What are those signs of discomfort?
Well, I think you can always tell when somebody isn't comfortable. You know, if somebody has a closed body posture, if they're not really talking back to you, you know, if you're, it's a conversation that's one-sided and they're not really answering, they don't look it in their face, that's a bit of a warning sign maybe to have a look at, is this person just shy or are they not feeling comfortable? Now, I always think with anything to do with the non-verbal, when it comes to the art of flirtation, which we don't really seem to be taught these days at all, it's about testing the waters and seeing if they respond. So if we kind of have a look at the scenario, which I always find is really prevalent in the US, where men always seem to send a drink over, you know, send a cocktail, send a glass of champagne. And then if the woman was interested, she would actually go up to the guy and say thank you and sit down and talk to him. And the bartender would always say, oh, so-and-so over there has sent you the drink. And that was kind of an invitation to say, would you like to talk to me? And that little dance nearly needs to be done in the non-verbal sense as well, where it's a matter of, you know, testing out the waters a little bit. It might be talking, it might be moving a little bit closer to that person. If they respond positively to that, see that as a welcoming sign to keep going. If they seem closed off to the idea in their body posture and the verbal tones that they're responding, or maybe they're just not really engaging in conversation, that's at the point where I'd say, well, maybe this is the no-go zone where pushing this might be seen as harassment.
Nikki, what about setting? Because I think Josh asked about, you know, waiting at public transport at the bus stop, or, you know, seeing someone on the train, or, you know, at the shops when you're in line to pay. Are there places and contexts where you just shouldn't try and pick someone up?
Well, I don't think you shouldn't not try pick somebody up, but it's definitely going to differ how you do it. So if you're at a bar or you're at a club, obviously people understand that there is a certain element of the meat market involved. And if someone's going to come up to you, then more than likely they might have seen you across the side of the room and they're thinking, oh, you're quite cute. When it comes to maybe waiting for the bus or your morning coffee, I don't think that we should completely dismiss that, but I think it needs to be done very differently. Now, I'm somebody who likes to talk to people in general. I talk to Uber drivers. I talk to anybody that's standing next to me. I'm just curious to talk to people. But if you want to pick somebody up and you're in one of those contexts, then start with a conversation. You know, have a really friendly conversation and see if that person once again is going to talk back to you, and not a conversation around, hey, what are you doing later and where do you like to hang out? But it might be commenting about the coffee that they've just ordered, or, hey, did you have a good weekend? Just putting it out there to see if they have a positive response to you, but making the conversation more general chit chat than putting that pressure on, hey, you look really attractive, or can I have your number? Things like that people can find very overwhelming if it is a context outside of something that they might consider the meat market scene, or more open to the idea of somebody picking them up.
So keep it really casual. Chris from Melbourne gave us a call. He said he reckons it's all about picking your moment and not making a woman feel trapped. He reckons he's had good results getting numbers on the tram, for example, but he always gives people an out. How much you go about that, Nikki, like letting someone have an out?
Well, I'd feel don't put the pressure on them. You know, try and have those warm-up conversations. You know, test the waters to see if they're curious about you just as much as you're curious about them. Don't ask them for their number within 5 seconds. You know, maybe say to them, well, would you like to hang out sometime? Not, can I get your number? I find people find, can I get your number, a bit confronting, because you feel rude if someone says to you, can I get your number, and you say no, because we're all fearful of offending somebody or what's going to happen when we do that. So I feel like more of that warm-up conversation of, you know, what are you doing later, or I'd love to hang out with you, and seeing where that goes from there before you start the hard sell is a way to test out the waters and also give them the out. You could also say a statement like, you know, I'd really love to see you again, but if you're not comfortable, I completely respect that. I find a lot of women feel more comfortable when statements like that are said, because they feel like straight off the bat that there is that level of respect there. And if they do want to say, you know, no, thank you, I have a partner, or, you know, this is not for me, that person has already made that declaration that their rejection in a way will be respected. It doesn't say that's always going to happen. Somebody could be using that as a bit of a ploy. Oh, you know, I respect you if you don't want to do this. But when in actual fact, what they're doing is using that as a bit of a line. Like, is that something that's more on the pickup side of things and more of the psychology behind, you know, picking a girl up? Or do they really mean that they do respect you whatever way you decide?
Mm. It's the Hookup on Triple J. Nat Tenchich here with you, and I'm still with Dr. Nikki Goldstein. She's a sexologist and dating expert, and psychologist Dr. Stephen Andrew. Now, Stephen, as we've said, and as we've sort of found, you know, the dating landscape has changed almost like so much, even in the last year or so. But it sort of seems like it's hit guys maybe a little bit from a blind spot. You know, they've always been able to do a particular thing, but now that's not okay. How can guys kind of like work and reconcile with what they've learnt in popular media and the movies and pickup experts on YouTube and all that kind of thing? And how can they kind of get past the messaging that society is giving them about picking up?
I think they need to do more than get past it. I think they need to get with it. I'm reflecting on the introduction that we had here that John had put together, and the tone of disbelief. How could that woman make that complaint against me? I can't remember it. It doesn't really sound a lot like me, perhaps. It sounded so kind of slippery and absent from the event itself. I think men need to get with the program a little bit here. Something has shifted and has changed, and about time it has too. The old ways are not working and were not working for women. They may have been working on some level for men in the past, but women are going, we're sick of this. And a pool of voices has risen up and they're saying, enough. Sleazebags, stay away from us. We don't enjoy it. It's not good for us. It's harmful for us. And I think it's ultimately harmful for the men too.
Mm.
They may not realise it at the time, but so it's not so much getting around this. I think it's getting into it, getting into the Me Too movement and looking at what's being said. It is really confronting for men. I get that. But I think it's time we were confronted with this. It's not working.
That's part one of the 3-part podcast mini-series on consent. Head to part two now, where you'll hear about how to apply enthusiastic consent to the bedroom and what consent isn't.